Well, hello everybody out there in Music Video Land, and welcome to another edition of the Music Video Land podcast brought to you by your super good friends at imvdb.com, the internet music video database, not to be confused with other forms of music video database. This is a podcast where we talk about music videos. My name is Adam. I work on IMVDB, and with me as always is the butterscotch boy, Mr. Doug Klinger. How are you doing, Doug?
What?
I'm bringing that back. Sorry.
No. Hey.
Okay. How you doing, Doug?
Good. I'm good. Super good.
So, yeah, we just woke Doug up. Okay. And then with me north of the wall in Sudbury, Ontario, Canada, is Mr. Adam Alexander from Fringe Music Fix. How you doing, Adam?
I'm good. I'm leaking things online. They're either my nudie pics or Subway expansion plans.
Oh, wow.
That's for you to find out.
I pick Subway expansion plans. And we have another awesome guest on the podcast this week who this week released a video that we're going to talk about by Lights, Up We Go. And we have talked about many of his videos on the podcast, including Andy Never Gone, as well as War of Change by Thousand Foot Crutch. Mr., and I'm going to butcher this, Elon Isuchano.
Oh my God, that was amazing last name pronunciation. The best I've ever heard so
really?
Far.
Really? That was good?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah, that Isuchano, yeah, and then Elon.
Nice.
Close.
Welcome to the podcast.
No, but you told me to correct you if you said it wrong. I don't want to sound like I'm like you have to say my name right. Oh no.
I think you ought to.
I don't want to talk about music videos. I kind of want to talk about these Subway plans because I'm in Toronto and we could desperately use some
right
some
directly
Subway
impact.
Expansions. Yeah.
That's yeah. I was gonna mention that you were in Toronto. We have a Canadian regular contributor to the podcast, Adam Alexander. I am Canadian, living in the United States, so it's always good to have Canadian on the podcast. And you're in Toronto right now.
I am literally in my office in Toronto at Reactive Post right now. I'm just sweating my balls off because our air conditioning stops working after 6 o'clock because working in music videos is glamorous.
No, nice. Damn, that is glamorous. So let's talk about a little bit about the Up We Go video by Lights, because we're recording this on Thursday, September 4th, 2014. This video came out yesterday. There's a few things I want to talk about with this video, but we should talk about the general premise of it. It is an elevator that we are in. Doors are opening on different floors. Things are coming in. Stuff is happening. There's some Mexican, I can't remember, the Lucha Libre style wrestlers. There's a band. There's all sorts of stuff happening. And
people probably have sex on the floor.
People, yeah. There's some sexy stuff going on, which is kind of a common thread through the videos this week, which we'll talk about later.
Yes.
But I was wondering where this, where this video came from initially.
So initially, I guess this specific concept ended up being the brief that I had gotten from the record label initially was a completely different kind of realm, different kind of video. There was a lot of references to Wayne's World. There was some references to digging up graveyards and weird stuff like that, and that didn't really connect in my head. And I'd pitched an entirely different video, which had nothing to do with elevators and nothing to do with it being one take. I pitched a completely different weird video that I'll hopefully get to make one day. That I don't really need to get into now. But then I kind of got this, like, I don't know if any other directors get this sort of email back, but the email back that I got was, we love your references and we love your mood boards, but we don't like your video. Like, we don't like your concept, but we still want you to do the video, but, like, we don't like the concept. So would you consider rewriting? And I'm like, well, like, what does that mean? Like, do I have to, like, rewrite the whole concept? Like, what do you like? And then a few emails back and forth, and I finally got this, like, I guess, revised brief. And apparently Lights had mentioned that she wanted to do a one-take video or something like that, basically, was what I was given. That's kind of what I was given. And I sort of racked my brain around, because the OK Go video had just come out, the one with the forced perspective. What is it called? Do you guys remember what it's called?
The Writings on the Wall.
The Writings on the Wall, which is like just a big sort of like F you to anybody who's ever tried to do a one take video. Like, just like don't even try. I think I may have written the treatment even before that video had come out, but I remember regardless feeling like, like what hasn't been done, and then kind of this obviously the name of the song is Up We Go, so I knew I wanted to do something that required sort of a moving, an upward moving sort of theme, like something that's moving up. And then I kind of bounced ideas back and forth with somebody that her name is Maxine, who works with me at Reactive Posters. She's actually one of my assistant VFX artists, and she's younger than me and a lot cooler than me. So sometimes I just like bounce ideas off of her, and just this came out. It doesn't really have like a big deep sort of meaning other than, you know, or any sort of, it doesn't really relate to the lyrics in any way other than just this upward movement. And I knew that I wanted to do it in one take. And then thought of the idea of an elevator, which is pretty, like, as soon as I thought of that, it was kind of like, it was pretty obvious to me, like, okay, the doors will open, and every time the doors open, we're on a different floor, and something else happens, and then from there, it was like, well, are we in a real elevator, and we're actually moving up from floor to floor, because that would be really cool to choreograph, if that was even possible, to actually choreograph, like, an elevator, a real elevator ride.
But to go in an actual building and
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that was sort of the first line of thought that I had, before even coming up with any of the scenarios with any of the vignettes, so to speak. Like I knew that I wanted to do this elevator upward movement thing. And then, yeah, like I knew it had to be one take. I knew it had to feel practical. And then from there it was just like, okay, well, I don't know how I would do it in a real elevator. Not to mention I would have to dress every floor and, you know, budget-wise, it just wouldn't have made sense. And then the idea came to me, like, well, why don't we just do this all in studio and try to build these sets that would slide in and out every time the doors would close. And it was almost written with the intent to make it as difficult as possible, like just the most challenging thing we could do. And I also like the idea of not doing something that required the artist to do anything super choreographed. Like, I like the idea of, like, what's being choreographed is outside of your field of vision. Like, you don't really see. Like, I wanted the first maybe, you know, 3 minutes of it, the first maybe, you know, minute and a half that you're watching it, I kind of wanted people to not really, to really think that we're moving from floor to floor. Like, I didn't really want them to realize that we're in a studio somewhere.
And then you eventually reveal that at the end with, like, a pullout. You show the crew and stuff. At what point did you decide that you wanted to reveal that to the audience?
It was after the treatment was approved, and it was during pre-pro, and I think one of the fears that I had was that, because I'm Jewish and neurotic, was that that people aren't gonna get it, that people are just gonna like watch it and it'll just be like, oh well, what's the big deal? They're in an elevator and there people are coming in and out, and like you won't really get that. Like the effort that went into it or something like that.
And, you know, you mentioned the writings on the wall. It kind of like felt like now you mentioned that it feels like a little bit of an homage to that, since they kind of pull back and everybody sort of claps and is happy.
100%. And that was sort of how I pitched it. It was like, okay, well, look, we're doing this video. It's very contained. It's kind of a lock off. It's not necessarily 100% possible, but it's likely that people might not really get it. Like, they might just think that it's, you know, just a bunch of people coming in and out of an elevator. I didn't downplay it like that, but it was kind of, that was the fear that I had. And I sort of communicated that to the label, saying like, well, what if we did this kind of like how they did the reveal? I think I only pitched it like 3 days before three or four days before the shoot. When we did our fitting with lights, I had brought it up to her and I'm like, what if we did this? And it was sort of, not everybody was like excited about that initially. Like, not everybody wanted to do the reveal at the end. It was kind of like, well first of all, I feel like it takes the attention away from the artist, obviously, so I can see why the record label would not be super into it at first. But but then when we did it, I think by the time we got around to actually getting a full take of the video, which wasn't until I want to say like 9 hours into the shoot day of like a 13-hour day, like the ninth hour is when we maybe, I feel like that's when we started shooting. Not even like, I'm not talking about like got a full take, sorry, we didn't even start shooting until like ninth hour of the shoot day. And things got a little tense. Like, by the end of the day, it was like, are we going to actually be able to do this? And this, I'm sure, again, to any directors who are listening to this, like, I know everybody has this in their heads, about like midway through the day where you're like, did I just waste everybody's time? Like, is this not going to work? And I don't think I was, it's usually something you say to yourself just as like a, you don't actually think that, you kind of think that, but you're kind of like, nah, but everything sort of works out in the end. It all works out. Because it does. Usually, 9 times out of 10, everything kind of works out unless, you know, unless something explodes. but in this case, it kind of felt like, holy fuck, I don't think we're going to do this. Like, I actually, like, midway through the day, I'm like, I just don't see how. Because I'd only done one other one-take video in the past for Finger 11, and that was, we did like 9 or 10 takes of the entire song. And that's kind of what that was my frame of reference. I'm like, we'll do this and I'll have 10 takes to pick from and I'll pick the best one. We shot 3 takes for this video. And one of them was not usable because the confetti, like full takes I'm talking about. We did 3 full takes of the video. And one of them, the confetti went off too soon. And then there's something else that got screwed up as well. So that one wasn't going to be usable unless we wanted to kind of rotoscope her in the foreground just so we can fix the mistakes, which I didn't want to do. I had it in my head that this had to be like one take, very little post. Like that was like my big thing is like everybody's just like, well, why don't you do – there was a bunch of stuff that was – I'm going all over the place right now as far as telling you about the story of this video. But there was a lot of like – the nebula that comes up during the bridge, the sort of cosmic background that comes up in the doors.
Yeah, when
sort
of the eyeball. It's got a giant eye, yeah.
In the treatment, that was all going to be post. We were just going to slide a green screen in there, and I was going to post that. And then, again, in the spirit of, like, let's make this as complicated as it could be, I decided about a week before the shoot that I think it would be way cooler if we did it with a rear projection screen on set. So we actually slid a projection screen, and we had a projector playing back pre-recorded footage. So there's all this stuff that had to be sort of figured out and timed. And it just wasn't working at first. Like we were messing things up and timing wasn't right. And I just felt like we weren't going to make it. But then, like I said, midway through the day or a little bit, no, even later, like 9 hours in, we started shooting. And I think people were like, once we did the first, even though we didn't get through all of it, like once we did the first like half of the video and we saw it, like we just saw it on the screen and we could see that it's working, because there's something magical about those doors closing and then opening up again and you're in a different set. There's just like it's like doing a magic trick, right? Like it doesn't feel like it should be possible, especially since I knew what was happening behind those doors. Mm-hmm. But then when it worked, it was just like it was like magic. And I think at that point, I feel like at that point, like 3/4 through our day, I feel like that's when everybody was just like, oh, we have to do this reveal at the end because this is fucking hard. And we need to show people how hard it was to do. Because those are like genuine reactions, like at the end of the video, like me freaking out like an idiot and like screaming. Like I was so happy that we did it. It was like, because I just didn't know if it was possible. And I also didn't build like a failsafe. Like for Finger 11, I'd built a failsafe. I'm like, if something happens, I can stitch 2 takes together. Like I know where I would do it and it was strategically planned. So if something happened, I could have, a piece of newspaper fly across, like every scene, so to speak, kind of had a failsafe where if for whatever reason we screwed up a take at a specific point, I could cover up for it in post. And even on the Finger 11, there was a lot of post kind of subtly added to it. But with this video, I was kind of adamant that we would do it for real as a one take. And the only thing that's fake about it is that the elevator buttons and the elevator, the screen, the LCD screen, those are the only parts that are post. Everything else is practical.
If I was in your situation and I was like, oh shit, this isn't going to work, I would have maybe just kind of quietly sidled up to, you know, somebody from the record label during the shoot and said, how about a new concept? Lights is just in an elevator for the whole video.
There you go, yeah.
And you said you got three actual takes in the can start to finish. Yeah. How many false starts? How many times did you have to stop halfway?
Oh, you know what? We turned around the video so quickly because I only shot this. Let me see if I'll open up a calendar here. I feel like I only shot it 2 weeks ago. We shot it August. Oh my god, I shot it August 17th. So we turned it around so quickly. I actually didn't even bother looking at the other takes. Like, I haven't even looked at all the false takes, so I don't know how many we did. I can't remember. We had
a Sunday for anybody keeping track at home.
Yes, yeah, the Sunday on the 17th. I should look back. I don't even know if I even transcoded all the footage. I think I just went. I'm like, I know it's the last take. I think I offered up the last take and the second to last take as options to the record label, but I told them like the last one is the one we have to use, basically.
So it was the last one. So like after you got those, you're like, all right, that's it, we're done, guys.
We were overtime at that point. I didn't have a choice.
So were you overtime on both of the final two takes?
Yes, I believe so. And I pushed. I remember getting, and again, record label wasn't there, so there was a lot of like emails going back and forth between our line producer Chris and Warner, and we sort of told them like, or at least you know Chris had to tell them. Luckily, I didn't have to be in on that conversation. But it was like, hey guys, like we don't have a video yet. We have it. Like I think by the time we had done that one take, the one that I had mentioned that we went all the way through, but the confetti came was premature. I think by the time we had done that take, we were like, that would have been our day. Like that would have been when we were supposed to rap. And then I kind of made it clear that I didn't think that was the one. And everybody wanted to do another one. Like we had just done one. Everybody's adrenaline was like, that's when we realized, okay, we can do this. We can do this entire thing in one take. So let's do another one. And then we did another one and it got better. But then we were overtime. But then I'm like, we have to do one more. Like there was just one. There's like little things about that second to last take that I would have hated myself for if we had, like, it's just the details, you know, like things like her sleeve was like kept rolling down, and she had to fix it. Like there's little things that probably I don't know if most people would have even noticed, but she kept having to fix her sleeve, and she noticed that. I think it bothered her as well. So it was like we have like things like that. It was just like and her positioning wasn't right in like when the two business dudes with the masks shake hands. About midway through the video, there's a scene where like the doors open and there's like this sort of faux office in the background, and the dude with the giraffe head and the and the pig head walk up and they shake hands. Like she was standing, like she was in the wrong spot. Not her fault. I think they were off. Their mark was off and her mark was off. So she ended up standing right in front of them and you couldn't see one of them. And it just would have been one of those things where like I would have watched it and I would have been like. Like it just would have ruined those little things for me. So I'm so glad that we did that one last take. That reminds me that I lied about the post, because we did have to fix two things in post, actually, because I liked that last take so much. But the two lighting cues going into the bridge and out of the bridge, like that blue section, were mistimed on that last take. So I actually had to add like these light flickers. Those weren't practical. There's like some. This is getting really, really specific, you guys.
If you'd like to shame the people who were controlling the lighting or the confetti,
Well, the confetti were all lights fans. All the extras were fans. That was another fun little tidbit about this video is that we had, I think again like 3 days, kind of away from the shoot, we had maybe 7 extras committed to coming out because we weren't allowed to say who the video was for and because they were worried that a lot of weirdos were going to come out. That's not to say I'm making it sound terrible. Like she has awesome fans and they're all really supportive, but there's just those few. I just shot another video for a Canadian.
The Adam Alexanders of the world.
Yeah. The ones that obsess over it. Yeah. The ones. Yeah. but yeah, I was on set, actually a few days before shooting lights, I was on set with another pop singer, Canadian pop singer. Her name is Victoria Duffield. Different flavor from lights altogether. And she had tweeted something about us shooting a video for her. And some guy, she had mentioned me in a tweet, and some guy, I guess, saw the tweet, and I have to imagine Googled my name to find my website and then find my email, and then emailed me directly multiple times asking, where's the shoot? Where's it happening? Because when he saw Victoria last year, she told him he could be the lead boyfriend in her video, and she promised him that he could do it, and he wants to come by and see her. And I'm like, these guys, like some people just take it a little bit too far. So that's not a reflection on all of them, but there was a concern from the record label, or from Lights Management, that if we were to make it, if we were going to make it public, that we're shooting a video for her and we were looking for extras, that some people might, and we were looking for free extras, like volunteer extras. So it was like, there was a concern there that, you know, we didn't know who was going to show up. So then 3 days before the shoot at the fitting, we kind of had to reassure them that, like, listen, we, like, you guys have to, like, post something. Like, if you look at, like, Light's Twitter account, like, I think a few days before the shoot, there's a tweet saying, like, hey, guys, I'm looking for extras for my video. And we gave them sort of a generic email address, and then we had to, like, vet everybody. And, like, there was, like, a screening process to make sure that the people who were coming weren't going to be crazy. Because people were emailing saying they were going to fly from, like, Germany and Brazil to be in the video. And they would do it. That's happened before, where people don't tell you these things, and then they show up on set and they freak out when the artist shows up in the room, and then you find out later that they had flown from, like, another country to be in the video without telling anybody. Just, they just kind of applied telling everybody they were local. Like, oh, yeah, I live in Toronto and I'd love to be in the video. And then you find out later that they've flown all the way from, like, you know, on some other country, which is, you know, like, I feel like it's like people are doing, like, that's too much harm. I would never want to put somebody out like that.
You had a lot of mitigating factors to deal with here. Yeah. Crazy. You had to, I mean, there's so many moving parts.
I kind of have this, like, I have this saying on set that I tell anybody who's new, like, anytime I deal with, like, a background actor or, like, an actor or non-union actor who hasn't been on camera before or hasn't been on camera much, and you kind of describe that sort of hurry up and wait mentality where it's like, okay, we need you right now. Okay, just hang on for like 10 minutes while we recalibrate. Like, oh, the red battery just went off. So, and I have to explain to them that it's like filmmaking effectively is the art of taking the simplest thing and making it the most complicated it can be. And that's just the nature of filmmaking. Like, if you want a girl walking down a sidewalk with her hair billowing in the wind, that is a very different, and no, you want just a tracking shot of that. That's a hard shot. The lighting has to be right. The wind has to be right. Like, anything that would on a normal day seem just like a regular thing, like this woman's walking down and she looks perfect. That's never the case once the camera's rolling. Like, everything's going to go wrong and nothing's going to look the way you kind of envision it looking. And you have to work at every piece of, like, something's happened by chance and that's great. But in my experience, everything that should be simple is going to be just the most, we're going to make it as complicated as possible. So I went into this video with that intention right off the bat. Like, how can I make this just the most challenging, pain in the ass video to pull off, because I feel like that's going to pay off at the end.
I'm curious, how are you, like, how much of can you direct or while stuff is going on? I mean, there are so many moving pieces while this video is happening. Can you be looking at a specific thing? Or are you just kind of looking in the monitor and hoping that it looks how you wanted it to? How hands-on are you with all of the moving parts?
I was really hands-on, but what I was doing mostly was direct, like, coaching and directing in between takes. Like, there wasn't much other than yelling out cues, which is what I was doing most of the time. I had an AD who was basically, he was yelling cues for the doors. Like, we had, like, a sort of a automated system. Like, we had the song pre-programmed with a bunch of beeps that would, like, kind of notify the art department on when the doors should open and close.
Oh, nice.
And then my AD would yell out, you know, what's coming up next, so that the actors knew, like, when they had to line up. But then I would yell. So he would yell at everybody outside of the elevator, and I would yell at everybody who's inside the elevator, basically, is kind of how it went. But yeah, that's mostly what it was just, like, incoherent screaming on my end because the music had to be so loud. And I was just basically just – it was mostly just cues at that point. Like, hey, you know, the wrestlers – one of the things I don't know if people catch, but one of the wrestlers walks in, he has a phone in his pocket and his trunks. And that's sort of what instigates them fighting, is because he looks down at his phone and he sees, like, a text message, and then they argue about it and then they fight. That was one of the things that kind of worked out better in one of the other takes, but I ended up using this take because it was better overall. I would yell, like, his cues, for example, would be like, okay, look at your phone now. And then, okay, you guys have to lock up. Like, at first it was challenging because I had to cue everybody all the time. And then it got better as people kind of understood the song. And that's very normal on a music video set. Usually for me, it's like I come into a video and I have the entire video in my head. And then by the end of the day, everybody on the crew and the cast has the entire video in their heads because they've done it so many times and they've kind of learned the cues and whatever. And whether you're doing a one take video or anything, like if you're using a camera operator or a steady cam operator who has to hit specific, you know, beats of the song. They have to be in specific places on the floor at a specific time in the song. A lot of times the beginning of the day is the hardest because I'm usually the only one who kind of has the entire blueprint of everything in my head. And it's not until we do like a bunch of takes that everybody sort of gets what we're doing. And by the time we did the last take, I didn't really have to cue anybody for anything. Everybody just had done it a few times that they knew their cues. I'll tell you one other funny story about this video, which was about, if you watch the video, about like a minute, you know the robber scene where the doors open and the robber runs in and he jumps up?
Yeah, I can't remember where that is.
It's about a minute 20 something into the video. And then the cops run in after him. So we had, I had put in my casting breakdown that I gave to my producer. I'm like, what? Like, I don't really care what this guy looks like. He just needs to be physically fit enough to jump and climb out of an elevator, like trapdoor. Like, he's going to have, it's a physical. It's like it's borderline a stunt, really. I mean, that's
yeah,
what it is.
That's not a lot harder than it looks.
Oh yeah,
I could definitely not do that ever.
Yeah, so, yeah. Do not hire Adam Alexander.
No.
So I said that's the only criteria I have for this man. Like, I don't care if he has face tattoos. I don't care. Like, I don't really care like what he looks like. I just need somebody who can do this because I'm going to put a mask on him anyways, and he just needs to be able to do this at potentially 40 times throughout the day, right? Like, however many rehearsals plus shooting takes or whatever. And I was reassured that, yeah, that's going to be the case, no problem. You know, this dude that's coming out, he can do it. He said he can do it. No problem, no problem, no problem. And I'm like, all right. And in my head, I'm like, this is it's too easy. Like, there's no way this is going to get messed up. And Buddy shows up on set, and hopefully he's not listening to this. Buddy shows up on set, and he's got, like, just the most massive beer gut. And he's, like, on his headshot, he looks like just a young, late 20s sort of dude. But then, like, full body, he looks like a 55-year-old man who's, like, drank too much and let himself go. So I'm, like, I'm looking at him. And we had built, like, we had spent the whole day, previous day, figuring out, like, how are we going to do this? Because we couldn't afford, like, a scaffolding above the elevator. So we didn't really properly think through, like, how he's going to escape from the top. So we ended up, like, coming up with this, like, really complex, like, felt like unnecessarily complex system where, like, there was a lift that we were using to hang lights off the grid. So we had the lift sort of raised above the elevator, and then the roof of the elevator doesn't exist, essentially. And then we built a little mini ladder out of pipes that comes just above where the camera was going to cut off the top of the elevator. And there are, like, a few rungs of, like, metal pipes. So basically the guy would have to jump up and do essentially a chin up and then climb up and lift himself up. And we were going to have somebody on the lift kind of ready to grab him and help him up after a certain point. I'm looking at this dude and I'm like, do you think you can do this? And he's like, yeah, no problem. I'm like, can you try it? And he's like, and he jumps up and he sort of just barely does a chin up. And then he just barely gets his arm onto the next rung. And then he comes back down and he turns to me and he goes, yeah, no problem. And I'm like, no. I'm like, okay. And then, like, he walks away. And then I pause there for a second. And I look over at some of the other talent, like background talent that was coming into process. And one of them was a dude that we were going to have as one of the business guys with the masks on. And he had initially, through some weird chance, applied to be one of the wrestlers. But then I ended up casting two wrestlers that I knew. Because I shot another video that had wrestlers in it. So I recast two of the wrestlers there. So I'm like, I don't need you as the wrestler. Would you come out and be the business guy? And he's like, yeah, no problem. But when I saw him on set, he's like this jacked dude. His name is Chris, and super fit. And I'm like, he could probably do it. So then I ended up getting him to play the robber. And then the dude with the beer gut is one of the dudes that shakes hands at the end of the you could see him actually on the left side, like if you watch the guy with the pig head.
The dude who goes up is in super, what looks like super awesome shape.
Oh yeah, and he's more ripped than one of the wrestlers, which is funny, which is weird. And also my dude, the guy, the couple making out, which apparently is like a big thing on YouTube. I saw like people are complaining about
really
the making out couple. Yeah,
because what are the complaints?
The ones I heard are that they're unnecessarily gratuitous.
Going in or coming out of it?
I think it's the undressing and then the implication that they're having sex on the floor and then coming back up for air.
So I gotta say that before when they're kind of sliding down the elevator wall there, he's kind of thrusting a little bit. So I can he's doing a little
thrusting. I don't know. I'm finding new things about this video every day. That was a very specific casting on my part because the girl and the guy, it's Alex and Miles. They're engaged in real life, and they are both dancers, and they've been on like Canada's. So You Think You Can Dance Canada or whatever, I forget. I use them a lot on a lot of other stuff. Like Miles is an actor and dancer. He's been in a bunch of my videos, and then Alex was in my last Billy Talent video. And so I have a really good relationship with them, and I cast them specifically because I knew they're dancers and I knew that they would be able to nail. Like if you watch what they're doing, essentially they're on, other than lights, they're in the video the most, I would say. And they have specific cues of where they have to be at every part of the song. So like when you first see them, they have to be making out by the door so that kind of motivates the doors from closing before the band leaves, because otherwise the doors would be staying open for a long time, so it wouldn't be realistic. So I had them kind of making out against the door. Then they have to roll over as the band's exiting. They have to roll over to one side of the elevator, and then they roll over to the other right before the doors open and the robber runs in, and then they kind of do a little spin. So they're really doing a dance. If you watch it, that's what they're doing. It just so happens that their dance movements involve ripping each other's clothes off and making out.
There's some sexy people there.
They're very good looking. They make me hate myself. Like they're so good looking. It's kind of annoying, to be honest. I tell them that all the time. It's annoying because they're good looking, and they can dance and they can act. And they're nice people, which this is the thing that bugs me the most. They're fucking awesome, awesome people.
It's fucked up.
It makes me so mad because I'm like, you guys should be assholes because you're so good looking and you're so talented.
They're just doing that to rub it in.
And they're together, so it's almost like it's like a recipe for success. You know what I mean? Like they found each other, so they're both two nice, good looking people who are really, really good at what they do.
That's just
frustrating. Yeah.
They
did great. I think they're. I feel like they're my favorite part of the video. I mean, a lot of things are my favorite part. I love the wrestlers too, but I feel like as far as the, you know, as far as kind of nailing it on every take, I feel like they were the most consistent, and I just kept giving them more stuff to do. Like there's a beat there where Lights throws her jacket at the end, and the girl catches it. Alex, the makeout girl, she catches it and she puts it on as she leaves the elevator. Like I remember like getting so excited because that's something we came up with on set. And I was just like, I was delirious by the time I came up with that concept. And I remember just jumping up, like everybody was quiet and all of a sudden it goes, and I just yell out like, I got a great idea. And everybody looks up at me and they're all like, what? And I'm like, you Lights, you're going to throw your jacket at Alex and then she's going to catch it and then she's going to walk away. And everybody's just like, okay, that's not really that exciting. But in my mind, it was like, I'm just like adding to the complexity of the video. Like that's just another thing. And I was so excited about it. I'm like a little kid on set when it comes to this kind of stuff.
Well, they're a sexy couple. They're pros. They're dancers. They know the deal. They glue the hell together.
She even comes up like, if you watch it, like Alex comes up like on this take, like her timing is like amazing. When she flips her hair is like right when the backup vocals of the song come in, like there's like a backup, like Lights does like the one line, I don't know what it's called, where the singer sings something and then you hear the in the background, I don't know what that's called, but that's happening, and then as that's happening Alex comes up. It's cool. I really dug her timing on this.
Well, speaking of sexy people,
yeah,
we have a few other sexy people videos to talk about. You can see this video by going to imvdb.com and finding it there, but if you want to see the rest of Alon's videos, we'll have a link to his IMVDB page on the podcast show notes, which you can find at imvdb.com/podcast. This is episode 122.
You were talking about sexy people, Adam, and I think there are a couple sexy people in Weekend by Priority, directed by David Vincent Wolfe. There's some sexy people in this video, right?
Well, that's not the most sexy, I would say. But, I mean, I guess so.
It's pretty sexy, you guys. There's roller skates.
I know. Roller skates are probably up in my top 10 of sexiness.
Another segue is this is also another one of Devin's videos.
Right.
That is true. Yeah. This is directed by David Vincent Wolfe, commissioned by Mr. Devin Sarno at Warner Brothers.
David Vincent Wolfe, who's recording commentaries on this video for us. So just look out for that, guys.
Keep an eye out for that. And it takes place at, I don't know, did you guys ever go to roller rink skating things when you were kids? I never really did.
A couple of birthdays.
Yeah.
I grew up in the Middle East. We didn't have anything like this. This did not exist where I grew up, so.
When you came to Canada, or as an adult living in Canada now, do you ever
By then, I feel like roller skates were out and everybody was rollerblading. I don't know. I don't.
Right.
My sort of like understanding of the roller blank is I don't know. I don't have a timeline in my head. Like, were roller skates before rollerblades, right? Or do those cross? Do they go in parallel, or does the one stop and the other one begin?
I think rollerblades
kind of stop and begin. Well, here anyway.
Well, roller skates have never stopped, but roller skates are like the classic four wheels, like not in line, two wheels next to each other with the front brake. Those are like the more classic, you know, like if you're thinking of like, you know, like Disco Stew is on skates.
Yeah.
And then roller blades are inline. That's more of like a Jazzercise Mom would be in roller blades.
Right.
So those are more like 90s. The plot of this video here, because it takes place at a roller skating rink, and the main character it's two employees at this roller skating rink. It seems to be in sort of a kind of a beaten down town. The whole, I got a 70s vibe from this. I'm not sure if it is contemporary and people are just, that's the kind of haircuts they have now. But it hasn't been updated in a while. And he's got some moves. He's got some excellent roller skating moves, which I think that this might be the actor who has the moves.
I actually think it's somebody else. It's a different dude.
I can't wait for the commentary on this, because I feel like we'll find out for realsies. Well, if it was, because I feel like, I feel like there's a stunt double here for the roller skates.
Right.
That's what I feel.
And so the guy in this movie is Nick Kroz, I think is how you say his name. And he's an actor. I think he's in Boyhood. I don't know if he's like the boy in Boyhood.
Oh, Shiza. Okay.
But he's in that movie, I think. Google is saying that's what I would know him for. But he is definitely an actor. And then the lady, Bailey Noble, the girl, she's from True Blood, so these are some actors. But yeah, somebody is credited as Jam Skater in this. We have a Jam Skater credit.
Yeah, I have a
feeling. And so probably, I think that's a stunt double.
Yeah, I feel like what did we say the kid's name was? Nick and I are on first name basis now. I feel like Nick is doing some of the skating, but yeah, once we get into some of the more complex movements, like the back handspring into which is bananas. Did anybody else get an Adventureland vibe off this video?
Yeah, definitely.
That's the first thing I thought of was Adventureland. I don't know if that was like a direct sort of influence. Hopefully we'll find out when we hear the commentary.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at the show notes, I'll put in the link to Mr. Brandon Perea, who is the Jam Skater in there. And he's definitely not the kid in the video. And he looks like a professional skater. He's 19.
Professional Jam Skater.
He's half Filipino, and that his profile says pro Jam Skater and BMXer, so there you go.
I love that we have four credits for this video. The two main people, the Jam Skater stand-in, and then Adrian Ramon, who is the featured patron, who at the end, he's the guy like clapping for him. Because essentially the concept of this video is the main character like imagines himself wowing this girl with his jam skating, and it turns out that he kind of just like ends up, he was just like skating around and nobody gave a shit except for this one patron. Because near around the end of his imagined scenario, like all of the patrons in the skating rink, and it's all these like weird looking fat people who probably look similar to like the first guy who was in your lights video trying to be the robber. They're all just like people who are not in good shape, but super regular looking folk and really funny. And this guy stands out, Adrian, as a favorite.
Now, Doug, I feel like I've heard Jam Skating before, because what is the video with the Jam Skater?
Oh, right. That's an Ian Pons Jules video
Ooh. That quiz, Rollerblades.
Right. It's called Rollerblades, which is interesting because the guy is definitely on roller skates in that video. I don't know if that's jam skating or what. That's definitely some kind of like Olympic level, like kind of like with like ice dancing, but with roller skates.
It was also the jungle video. The Heat was maybe jam skating too. Those guys were some dancing roller skaters too.
Now the jungle video, that needs a hashtag roller skates on it.
Got it.
The jungle video? Oh, it does.
I just did it.
Oh, by the way, I only noticed these hashtags on your. This was a new thing.
And they're new.
And I clicked on it when I think your auto tweeted that the video got added, and the lights video got added, and I went and I looked, and I clicked on the hashtag, and the first thing I saw was another one take video done in an elevator, which I thought was pretty funny.
Yeah.
So it worked. Nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It worked. It was like specific. It was very specific. I thought very good. Amazing. And especially if you want to be writing treatments and you're looking for references that are
right.
Similar. Well, that's so if anybody ever wanted to do a one take elevator video, now there's two of them out there so that you can.
That video would be Limitless by Megan Washington, directed by Tooth and Claw.
Yeah.
And
beautiful looking video. Like, beautiful looking. I love the cinematography.
And
it's very simple, but it's beautiful looking.
The tag feature is kind of meant to, because you know people group music videos by music a lot. That's kind of like the easy way to do it. You know, this is a rock video. But it goes deeper than that. It's I want to look at all the videos with roller skates in it. You know, why not? So we're working on that. So I'm glad those are working for people.
Oh yeah, for sure. I have a question for you guys. What's your feeling about credits? I know you might have done a whole podcast about this by now, about putting end credits in music videos. Like, is that because I've done it before and I've always kind of felt dirty doing it. I always felt like,
oh wow, we like it.
Yeah,
we always like we'll mind that stuff. Something there was a Lady Gaga video one time that had hundreds of credits.
Oh, the new one, the GUI.
Yeah, we've got all of those on there, and we went through taking screenshots.
Right. So you guys love it. Okay, cool. Because I love it in the sense that it's like credit where credit's due. A lot of people have worked on these. Blah 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 blah. But I also feel like sometimes it comes across a little pretentious because it's like you're at the end of the day it's like putting. I don't know. In my mind, sometimes it could be like putting credits on a commercial or something because it's a commissioned piece of work. Maybe not. I don't know. I'm not. The jury in my mind is out on it. Like, is what's the term? Jury is out. Meaning, I'm not sure.
That's I think it makes sense.
I think it's a little.
Go ahead, Adam. Sorry.
I was just gonna say that I think that the one kind of like factor in that kind of makes it awkward is the fact that it music videos are music. So if you're putting together like you'll go to a film festival or whatever that has like a music video program, and then there's always like one video in the middle that has like a credit sequence, and you're like, oh shit, we gotta sit through credits now. But I think if there's a way to like detach it a little bit, I think that makes it a little bit more.
That's
sense.
What I like. Like, I like having the Vimeo credits or like the having, because most videos nowadays, like, I wish Vivo would do it. I wish Vivo would put proper credits in the description of their videos. I feel like that's way more interesting to me. And I like your setup on IMDb too. Like, you watch the video and then you got the rest of your credits. I just, because in my mind, I feel like it depends on how you look at the creation of a music video, but like the first objective has to be to serve the song. I feel like that's your first thing, is serve the song, not like it, your first priority shouldn't be like, I'm doing this video to when I say get my name out, I mean physically, like literally with my the letters on the screen with my name on. That shouldn't be the first thing that I'm striving for. It should be, okay, what's a good visual that complements this song? But then again, I don't think that's it's a faux pas or anything like that. I just, something to think about, I think something worth thinking about when you do it, because I feel like some videos lend themselves really well to it. A video like this where it feels there's no real performance, it's all mostly narrative, and it is kind of like watching a short film. But then I see them sometimes on videos that are just performance videos, and it's more so like, I also not a big fan of like putting your name at the top of the video.
Like the director directed name?
By, right, yeah. Like, I don't know. It throws me. It throws me off. It's almost like you're telling me, this is more important, or this is the most important thing that you need to. Let's just forget about everything else. Just this is. I made this video. You need to know about this. Okay, now
here's my name.
Yeah, I've just never been a huge fan of that. But But when you're structuring your video sort of like a short film, I don't see it as being like inappropriate per se. I like in this case the weekend video. I like that the credits are at the end, and I actually really like the style of credits. I'm trying to see the reference.
They're
there.
They're pretty small, right? They're
yeah, they were hard to read.
Right, but I'm just saying aesthetically, they kind of have a Wes Anderson-esque kind of.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's what I'm getting out of it. I'm getting something out of it that I'm trying to think place it, but it's got a. And I even like the old school, the Warner Brothers logo, the Warner Brothers Records logo. Like, I really dig that.
There's a to see the exact opposite of that. Look at the major laser video for Scare Me, directed by Brandon Dremmer, which is a fantastic video. Got a commentary for that too. But at the end of that video, there's like an insane credit roll that has like a completely different song play for it. It's like crazy animated. This video is the Scare Me video is full of cameos. Nick Kroll, Terry Crews. And like it's essentially a whole another video of a credit roll of all the actors, and that would be the exact opposite. Also fun though, and also kind of fits the mold of that video. That's like a very like.
What's that Keith Schofield video? That one's probably my favorite use of credits.
Oh
in
yeah,
the video.
That's like the whole so video. Like
Kravitz, Lenny Kravitz video actually.
Right, which is a good segue.
Yeah, great segue. You see what I do? I've done podcasts before.
Yeah, you're on top of this stuff. Yes, Lenny Kravitz, Let Love Rule. It's like a guy, it's like essentially the end of a movie. And then the guy, suddenly the credits are like physical. He's able to like interact with them and he gets caught on them and stuff. Yeah.
I'm a fan of that. I feel like if you can sort of, I mean, that's the main hook of the video. But just the idea of even in the Major Lazer video, the credits become a part of the video as opposed to just being sort of a credit roll. But and that said, I've done videos where I've credited people and I put my name at the front of the video too. So like I
you're a hypocrite.
Completely guilty, yeah. Complete like just a shithead. I've also hid my name in videos and I've hid my face in videos before. So I really should
nice.
Like I've Easter eggs everywhere.
Like Walt Disney. That's I don't know what that means.
No, nothing that crazy. Nothing no like boners or like weird like what is it? Leaves spelling sex or something like that.
That's not what I was talking about, but yeah, I know that's what
I thought that's what you were talking about.
No, yeah, like in Disney World there are like hidden Mickey Mouses. That's God, that's funny that I was talking about that and you guys are thinking dicks. But that's cool. Whatever. Adam Alexander's no, I'm not gonna say it. Let you guys fill it in. Let's talk about The Chamber. Let's move to The Chamber. Lenny Kravitz, The Chamber, directed by Anthony Mandler. This is a beautiful video. Very, very much in the style of Anthony Mandler's videos.
And that's what I was going to say. This is a video where you don't need to put a credit at the top of it. Because if you know Len, if you know Anthony Mandler, you know this is an Anthony Mandler video right from like the – I want to say the first frame, but it's really the second frame. It's really the green lens flare, like that's where you're like, okay, this is, and also like the little intro, like the music and that entire intro is very Anthony Mandler.
Yeah, it's kind of a parody of an Anthony Mandler video in a way.
I mean, it looks fantastic, but it like bleeds like this is what an Anthony Mandler would be. Is it me or is that like Nietzsche quote at the beginning just like insanely misogynistic? Is it just like
I was trying to place it and figure out where like what they were trying to get at with that, and I think I'm just either I'm not smart enough to understand. Like I mean I've read Nietzsche and I get, but I don't know if it's like it's trying to push buttons maybe. Like maybe it's that's the idea is like okay, let's put something out there that's like you know, that's going to get people talking because it is very misogynist.
Yeah, like a man needs to play and a woman is his plaything. Like that's what the fuck. But like, I don't know.
I don't know. Do you guys know Anthony? Do you know him? Like, do you know him personally? You should have him on. Ask him about that because I'm more curious about that than anything else
in the video. That's funny. I mean,
I'm curious about that, and I'm curious about how old Lenny Kravitz is, because this man is fucking ripped.
It's unbelievable. I mean, let me look up right now.
Somebody told me they worked with his daughter, and she was in her 20s.
He's definitely older, but Lenny Kravitz is like kind of like, I don't know. Like, he's like...
Wow, he's like, 50 years old.
Holy shit.
Man. He does not look 50.
Like, he's a bigger star than I think, like, my mind realizes. how big of a star Lenny Kravitz is. But holy cow, 50 years old.
Yeah. And the woman, I want to guess, like 22.
Yeah.
Right? And I know that he has a daughter that's like probably around the same age, which is like just extra creepy.
But if you're Lenny Kravitz, you know, go for it.
Dude, if you're Lenny Kravitz, you're laughing.
Because this video almost seems like it comes from a different time period. I was watching this and I was like, is this not that it's like the values of it or from a different period or whatever, but this looks and feels kind of like a video that could have easily been released in 1988.
I was going to say 92 or something. Like it feels 90s to me for some reason, not 80s. Like it has a sort of like. Then again, I lived in, like I said, I grew up in Israel, so all the pop culture we got was always like 3 years behind.
Slightly removed.
Yeah, I say 88, you say 91. You know.
And it's like we're actually talking about the same thing, yeah, probably.
Well, I guess I could, the thing that leads me to say the late 80s would be like this kind of filling mansions with specific colors.
Oh, yeah.
Especially like, because every shot is like hard, like a hard direction in one color.
Yeah,
like a pink or a blue or whatever.
Yeah, and then even the lens flares fill in that color.
Yeah.
Well, this is an interesting contrast since we're talking about that look and the Priory. Am I pronouncing it right? Priory.
The Priory, weekend video. Yeah.
Yeah, like those are. If you look at them, they're using similar techniques in the sense. I mean, both from what I can tell are shot anamorphic, like on anamorphic lenses, and heavy, heavy use of gels, like lighting gels,
mm-hmm.
And lens flares. But yet they feel completely different, right? Like they have a complete, like one feels very, like the weekend video feels to me very contemporary, especially the color grade, like very sort of current, I guess you could say, this sort of like low contrast, hazy sort of, I don't even know how to describe it, but that's, you know the look. It's a kind of very, very common look. And then you've got this Lenny Kravitz look video that's like, it's so contrasty.
Yeah.
And not in a bad way. Like that's kind of why I'm saying 90s. It gives me a bit of a 90s filter because it's like, it's not trying to look overly contemporary. It kind of has a timeless look to it, to me at least. But it's using slightly similar, you know, techniques in that sense. Like a lot of lens flares, a lot of like shallow depth of field, anamorphic. And then I'm willing to bet, even though it's not in the credit, I'm willing to bet it's the same colorist because the weekend video was Dave Hussey, according to your awesome credit breakdown.
And that's definitely accurate on that one.
And I know Dave Hussey works with Mandler, so yeah. It's possible he may have color corrected both of these videos.
Yeah, Dave usually adds his own credits, which is nice if then they aren't added somewhere else.
Oh yeah, okay, cool. I love his. He's a great colorist. I wish I'd love to get the chance to color in LA. I never have the money.
He's fantastic. The Kravitz unbelievable.
Video looks like really classy, high end softcore porn to me.
This is one thing that I think places it in 2013, 2014 era, and that is the use of, you know, one super tasteful nudity shot somewhere in the first half of the video.
Right.
And they work that in.
Yeah.
Well, and also, if you're going to make a video that sort of has a timeless feel to it, I mean, why not get Lenny Kravitz? Because, or why not do it for Lenny Kravitz video? Because the guy looks the same.
Like this could have looked like a Lenny Kravitz video from 1997.
Oh, right.
Could have totally worked. Down to like obviously the mansion and then the car that he's driving, or the car that's at the end. Not that he's driving, but also got a sort of like, I don't know, like a, I can't place times very well as you can tell, but like, I don't know, that's supposed to be like an old car. It's an old car, you guys.
it's a beat up old, you know, like Oldsmobile from 1983. Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
That felt like it just feels intentionally timeless. Like it's intentionally done so that you wouldn't know. You wouldn't get a really good feel of when it was shot.
Oh, definitely.
That makes a lot of sense.
I'm going to pull one of these screen grabs for the Art of Music videos.
Yeah, do the naked one. Get us a remove from Twitter.
Yeah.
Lenny's a vampire, I think.
That's nice.
That's the secret. That's the secret.
He could be a vampire in this video.
Yeah, it even has.
Right, in the empty mansion with babes all around. Totally.
Vampires
totally
love vampire babes.
So I think we should talk about Walking with Elephants by Ten Walls, directed by Nez. What do you guys think?
A plus.
Yeah, I love Nez. I love everything that he touches.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Nez is kind of a G.
Yeah.
And he hasn't, he's only done two videos in 2014. He only usually does right, maybe like two or three videos a year. So a NES video coming out is a relatively rare occasion.
Is he a commercial director? Like, what's his deal when he's not making videos?
I'm pretty sure it's more commercials for him.
Okay. That rudimental video, the waiting all night video, is
that's unbelievable.
Like, yeah. I love showing that video to people. Like, one of those videos I show people when they like when I try to show them that like you can definitely get the feels watching a music video. Like, if you just want to just get goosebumps watching a video, like, I just go with that one first. Nice. Of a modern one, so to speak. Like, when people go like, oh, music videos, like, you know, I remember back when music videos were so-and-so, and it's like, well, you got to watch this because it's so cool.
Yeah, that's actually his top-rated video, so that's...
Yeah, oh, most it? Views. And this Walking with Elephants, this isn't so... doesn't have so much emotional depth as that video does, but this is still a pretty stunning video, especially kind of like the visually stunning and special effects. Adam Alexander, it's funny that he called Lenny Kravitz a vampire, because there are the characters in this video have powers that I assume vampires would have. I think vampires can swim in the ocean like dolphins. Do I not know anything about vampires?
That's maybe so, you could give it a twist, Doug. You could write a screenplay with that, maybe.
Well, why don't you explain the video to us, Doug?
Okay,
can somebody tell me what's going on in this video?
I could just tell you what I saw, and that's like crazy ninja looking dudes. Yeah, vampires is stupid. I should leave the segues to other people. Especially when we were already segued into the video. There are ninja-like people. There are ninja-like people running around in the street. And by ninja-like people, they're like just bodies kind of in black, kind of black covered face.
They're wearing full body suits, kind of like the green screen suits that you wear on set if you want to like key a person out. But they're black and white. They're like
green man suits.
Yeah, the green man suits, but they're black and white. And some just insane camera movements. Like, I don't even know what's going on here. Like,
right,
the part where they're crossing each other,
or the one where they jump into the water
shots over a field. I love it.
That be octocopter? Because like the shot where they're like running into the water, it's such on like a straight track.
No, I'm thinking like the first shot where the white. Oh, this is going to sound terrible. The white and the black people meet. I don't know what to call them.
That's what they are, but they're not, it's not a race thing. That's just literally the color of their
eyes. No, it's not appropriating. They're literally white.
There's a shot where
black.
One of them changes direction and the camera does. Oh, it just looks cool. Yeah. I feel like it's an octocopter because it's
not. No, probably.
Yeah, most of these are, I'd venture to guess most of these are octocopter.
The very first shot, I mean, they're basically like over a huge body of water coming in on like this lighthouse thing, and or pole or something. I can't imagine how else you would have got that shot, but it looks beautiful. And obviously, this is not a GoPro that this video is probably shot on. It's stunning. Something that flies in the air. It's got to be, because they're like there are some shots where these dudes are, they look like specks on the screen almost. They're so far above them with some of these shots. And sweeping some of the shots.
We don't know if it's an octocopter. There may have been more than eight blades or
right. It could be
we
a
don't
12,
know that.
12 blades, right? We don't want to.
Yeah. What's a 12 copter? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, some other
number.
Word.
Yeah.
12 toe. So eventually they start running it when they start running into the ocean, and then all kind of cannonball into the ocean, and then like we mentioned before, like vampires do, they start swimming.
Dolphin
vampires, they start swimming through the water like dolphins, like kind of like up in the air, and then they do these crazy jumps and maybe like flying fish.
So it's do you guys know about this though? Because this is a thing. Have you guys seen this video of how? Because there's a company out there, and I forget what it's called now. And they just had this video go viral about their essentially like, I don't know, like water propulsion system. It's like a giant tube that you connect to your feet, and it shoots out. So you've seen these before, right?
Yeah. Some people own them down here in South Florida. Not a brag. people are weird enough to have these that they want all the time, and they take them out on lakes and shit.
Yeah, they look awesome. Like, they look so it has to be attached to some boat or some motor of some kind. It's like right? Like that's how you get the, how do you get the water pressure?
Because the pressure, yeah, exactly. Some typically like a boat, or like yeah, I think it's always a boat.
Okay, it looks awesome. I mean, it's and it's such a great use for it. Because the only
boat,
other video,
is the
only
other, pulling it? I'm just confused.
Yeah, I've never seen one of these before in my life.
Engineering here, like,
so you wear these boots almost. You're wearing these boots, and then like, and the boots like shoot out high water pressure, and you can kind of like skate across the water. You can't dive into the water like these guys do, but
yeah, they've
but
got something extra.
They've done some VFX with like. Yeah.
Is it VFX? I can't tell if reality.
Yes. Fixed. No. Yes. Definitely. Yes. What is it called? Like water shooter boots.
Oh, let's I don't see. Know what it's called. We need to find. But here's the thing. Whenever I've ever seen these before, I've only seen them in that one video that was going around. And it was all these like sort of beach like all these like sort of well, essentially they just look like douchebags. going up and like just go, yeah, sick bro, and then do the thing. So this is like a really artsy way of doing that. It's cool. Yeah, I don't know what these are called.
Let's think it maybe flyboard. Oh, I think it's flyboard? I think it's called a flyboard.
Jet water board. I'm just googling this right now. Yeah, flyboard. Oh, you're right. So yeah, so just type in flyboard. 13 million views on this first thing that comes up on YouTube. Flyboard.
Holy
coolest
crap.
Water jetpack ever. And then watch these dudes who are on this thing.
So they must have because you need to kind of have like a pipe or a thing attached to your board. Like they must have keyed that out.
If you look at the flyboard video, the one that says coolest water jetpack, look at these dudes and tell me they don't own sick belt buckles.
These are all the people who live in South. All these guys live in South Florida. These
sick
are my
belt
neighbors.
Buckle, bro.
Sick belt buckle, bro. Yeah, that's a great. We're talking about a Nick Kroll video.
This seems like definitely how they did this, though. With
100%. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I see. I had zero idea that these even existed. So this is amazing.
Yeah.
If you want to see this,
we ruined the magic for you. You thought they were vampires.
First of all, who
dolphin vampires?
No, I don't know what Doug is reading about vampires.
it's kind of like the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They're douchebags, dolphin vampires.
You can't tell the difference between when I'm being serious and when I'm talking about nonsense. Here's a cue that it's nonsense. Dolphin vampires.
So if anybody wants to see this video, I'll put the link in the show notes because this is pretty incredible.
Okay, let's quickly go to Clipping because Inside Out by Clipping, directed by Carlos Lopez Estrada. The reason we definitely need to talk about this video is because this video is a sequel to Carlos Lopez Estrada's last video for Clipping called Work Work. In that video, also a video that seems like a one-shot, like this one seems like a one-shot, but obviously I don't think it is because nobody has a car for a head. In the first Clipping video, Work Work, the rapper guy in Clipping, I can't think of his name now because I shouldn't talk into a microphone.
He gets curb stomped, right?
He gets curb stomped, right? Exactly. He gets curb stomped, and his head like disappears, and he kind of wanders off screen at the end of that video, headless. And then this video picks up with a headless dude wearing the same clothes, kind of doing rap hands along with the verse, so obviously it's that same dude. And throughout the video, different things come out of the neck hole of his shirt that correspond with the lyrics. And sometimes it's different dudes' heads, and sometimes it's cars and cats and fireworks and all kind of and bullets and all kind of crazy stuff. And I really love this video. How'd you guys?
I love this video. Like, it's so much fun. It's so much fun.
I am definitely in that camp too. This is an amazing video. There are some hilarious stuff that comes out of this guy's head. One of them is he's quoting somebody. I can't remember. He's quoting somebody in the rap, and then you know, instead of an object, this guy's head just pops out and says a line. So they use it in a lot of really super creative ways. The screenshot is the car on the top of it. But there's. Yeah. I mean, how many objects come out of this guy's head? It's a ton of them, like 50.
Yeah, and the homeless dude's at the end. I'm assuming he's homeless. That was rude of me. I don't know if he's homeless. The old dude. I don't know what that reference is to, but it's awesome.
There's a cool shot where the rose comes out. That's a nice kind of looking shot.
It's really well coordinated with the lyrics to the song too.
I'll tell you what I really liked about it, and it's more on the, I guess, the technical side, but it's that, like, none of this CG stuff that's coming out of his head looks real. Like, it all looks super sort of, like, campy and sort of, it's polished. Like, it's well done, but it's kind of got a lo-fi, it's a lo-fi aesthetic, but it doesn't look like somebody just, like, it wasn't like, oh, just make it look shitty on purpose. Like, that's not the idea here.
Right.
It's kind of like,
no, it was a really crude
CG, but it's like
stylistically bad.
Yes, stylistically bad or simple. Yeah, but it still works. Like, and it's still very, like, it's on point. Like, everything that's happening, like the broccoli catching on fire and stuff. Like, it's so smooth the way it happens. Like, it doesn't feel like whoever did it did it poorly. Like, it's somebody doing something that looks bad on purpose in, like, a good way. I don't know. It's like, it's good. I don't know how else to describe it. It's just, it's polished, but it's crude at the same time.
VFX by Tanner Merrill and animation by Leah Shore. And then Carlos.
Do you know these guys? I've never heard of these.
No, Merrill, actually, I don't. We have another credit for Leah Shore as animator on a Pro Era School High video, which we actually were on set of, funny enough. But that's actually like scribble animation. And then Tanner.
There's some scribble animations on this, though.
Yeah.
There's some like whiteboard stuff, so I wonder if.
Right, which I think is what she probably did. And then Tanner, no, this is our first credit for Tanner. We are in the works of getting a full call sheet for this video. But Carlos also does a lot of VFX post work himself, and so I think that he was probably pretty hands-on with this project as well. But yeah, I think Tanner is probably the lead VFX guy on this. And another thing that's very typical of a Carlos Lopez Estrada video is the presence of animals, and there are a lot of very cute animals in this video. And I love them.
Yeah.
Does anybody know the purpose of the idea behind the glitching? Like, where is that?
Does it correspond? Does it seem to at least, because it's part, it always shows up in the chorus, and it seems to kind of correspond with what he's talking about or something.
Right, okay.
Yeah, all of the objects are very closely aligned with the whatever the lyric might be.
Right.
Sometimes not like it's the alignment isn't always as obvious. So it's like, I think they say the word murder or something, and that's when you get these like giant, almost comically large bullets. And so, and that's another interesting thing. Like the last video, despite the dude getting curb stomped, because that's like fucked up. Like that's like a fucked up thing, getting curb stomped. And it's pretty
heavy. Is it? I just thought people do it for fun.
Man, no,
fucked up at all.
In Canada,
I don't know what it's like in Toronto, but like, yeah, it's pretty scary.
Our mayor smokes crack. We're all about
that. It's a great point. But despite that, like none of these, that video didn't feel super heavy. And this one, you know, even though there's bullets and stuff, it doesn't feel like overly violent or anything like that.
No, well, the guy gets not really disturbing anyone, really.
Well, the headless guy gets up at the end of work. And the color matching is actually real. I don't know if they shot this at the same time, but if they went back and did and like matched it or lighting and everything like that, they did a fantastic job because you could almost like blend the two together.
Yeah. So that's a great video. Everyone watch it. Do we want to just go around and say our favorites from the week, or do we have time to talk about another video?
I think we should do the favorites because that'll cover some vids.
Let's do some favorites. Okay. Let's start with Adam Alexander. What was your favorite video this week?
He loves the likes video.
Yeah, I do love the lights. It's a good one.
We're actually banned from picking somebody who's on the podcast. That's our new rule because it gets awkward.
I joke. I kid. I hate that.
I'm going to segue into my favorite, which was or one of my favorites right now, which was by Peaking Lights, and it was a video for a song called Breakdown, directed by Eugene Kotlierenko. Probably didn't say that right, but I tried. And I really like this video, and it kind of plays on society's whole obsession with their cellular phones and any mobile device. So basically what the video is it follows this girl through her daily routine, and her phone is represented by a giant person wearing a regular sized person wearing a giant cell phone costume. And basically, like a phone would do, it kind of just taunts her and distracts her from her daily routine, causing her to get fired and break up with her boyfriend and basically just fuck up her whole life because this giant phone is taunting her. I've seen things with this concept in commercials and stuff, but I had never quite seen it done in a music video, and I thought it was really well done, and that's definitely one of my favorites.
So I was on it was a great video. I thought it was super, super creative. And you just need to know I was on mute. But when you corrected yourself and mentioned that it was a regular sized person, not a giant person, I laughed really hard. So you need to know that you got laughs. You got laughs at that. I was laughing.
Thanks, Doug.
Okay, you need to know. Adam Fairholme, favorite of the week.
I'm going to go with Weekend by Priory for two reasons. One, I think it's a great narrative video, and I love the look of it. But the other one, I like the track a lot. Priory, I think they're sort of a up-and-coming band, if that is a word that people use to describe bands. And I think this video is going to do a lot for them. I think this track is really fun. And that's my favorite. David Vincent Wolfe, holler at me.
Awesome.
Doug was just leaving me hanging just so I could get some awkward shit in there. Doug, what's your favorite?
What's my favorite of the week? Yeah, I did leave that hanging for you. My favorite of the week is a video that didn't get to squeeze into our watch list because it was first premiered on Twitter, and we won't get into that, but it finally made it to YouTube, and that is Odessa by Say My Name by Odessa, directed by Ian Ponsjewel, and this is my favorite video of the week. This is a little bit of a mind fuck.
He's done so many videos lately.
He's been doing a lot, and they're all really good, and like kind of just like you don't know what to expect. Some of them are really like funny, some of them are a little darker. This one's kind of a little bit darker. And I only watched it once, and so I think I have the narrative right, but basically what happens is, gosh, I kind of even don't want to tell people, but watch the video first, and then so hit pause, watch the video, and then listen to me just tell you what happens in it. It starts out with like a regular music video, like a guy and girl fall in love. They both have Beats headphones on, and they fall in love, and they fall in love with each other. And then, like suddenly, like somewhere near, like in the end of the second act, it cuts, and there's like a reveal of a set, and like the girl in the video seems to be the character that she was playing, and like is really disoriented and is like looking around everywhere and like is acting affectionately towards the like male actor, but like she's being sat in a seat that says like girl on it, and she's clearly like it's revealed as like a music video set, but she's still like the girl from the video. It's really hard. It's a lot like better to watch it and have it settle in the way it did for me, and I've ruined that for everyone who's listening to me now, but that's what happens in this video, and it's super, super weird and unexpected and awesome, and I really liked it. And
it's a great color grade on it as well.
Yeah.
Interesting, like very sort of reminds me of the Last Placebo video. Who did that one? It was great.
Simone Cash. And so there's a change in the grade when she kind of becomes a new person. It feels a lot less music video-y. So this is my favorite of the week. Super good video.
Right. Alan, how about you?
So I'll tell you which one I wanted to be my favorite. I wanted that Circles video to be awesome when I first watched, because I had seen that. I think maybe Doug may have tweeted about it. Somebody tweeted about it. The I See Monsters video, which we didn't get a chance to talk about. And I wanted that to be my favorite video, but then there was just some campiness in it that I just couldn't get behind. so that wasn't it. But then I think it'd have to be a tie between.
Alan, you're breaking up a little bit. Hold on.
Oh, sorry. I have to say it's a tie between the clipping video.
No. I think we gotta just call back just in 1 second. Right, sorry.
Right. No worries. Call me back.
Yep.
Hello.
Oh. Yep.
Is that better?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, cool. What was the last thing I said that you guys heard?
You wanted I See Monsters to be your favorite, but it was...
Oh, so I really wanted to love the the IC Monsters video for Circles, and I, for the most part, I liked it. But then there were just some moments in it that are just too campy that I thought threw me off. So that kind of went off my list. So I think it's a tie between the clipping video Inside Out by Carlos, which I think is awesome, and now that I watched it again while I talked to you guys, the Nez's video for 10 Walls, the Walking Out with Elephants video, is just pretty crazy the way it's shot. So that's going to be my favorite.
I feel like watching Walking with Elephants while high is got to be, it's got to be
yeah, an experience.
Adam Alexander's like,
what's that?
Adam can't buy weed. There's no weed in Canada.
No, but no. Adam makes his own meth using coffee.
I just want to add, I'm changing the subject here, but I just want to say that the ICU Monsters video for Circles is perfect for someone who enjoys movies but wants to watch a two-hour movie in 7 minutes. It's like a whole movie jam-packed into that.
Yeah, it is. I like
it's like a really good narrative video.
It is. I do agree, though. We staff picked it, and I think it was a good video, but there was a little bit of campiness that
I liked the campiness. I'm gonna.
I don't know if the campiness is the right word. It's not even the conceptually campiness, because that's fine.
Yeah.
It's got that Taken sort of feel to it. You know, it's more just the. It might just be a production value thing. It's like they crammed a lot. So then, it's almost like you have a lot, but not everything is great. It's just like, instead of doing a few things great, they did a lot of things, and not all of them were great. So some of the acting is not awesome, and then obviously some of the stabbing scenes and some of the action scenes are like, they're too low budget action film looking to me. Like, I almost, that's the only thing, but I think the cinematography is great and the story is great, and I love the song. I'd pitched the video for these guys a while back, and I just love the music. I think it's great.
Yeah. So if anyone listening to this wants to see any of the videos we've talked about, go to imvdb.com/podcast. You can find all the videos we talked about. You could find super cool things about music videos, and as far as your mind can imagine. And you also will find a link to Adam's new article, Welcome to the New Golden Age of Music Videos, that he wrote today. Super awesome. We didn't get to talk about it, but just read it because you love music videos.
You're talking so fast. I can't hear it. I can't understand what you're saying.
Oh, really?
I could understand it.
Well, just like you mentioned, two quick plugs, the article I wrote today, but also great Lamar and Nick, Lamar plus Mint, Nick, excuse me, commentary for Bag Boy by Pixies that just went up today. Check it out. It's a very funny commentary. I think that's it. We did it, everybody. We covered
it
all.
We did it in one take, you guys.
We did it exactly.
Now we can pull back and all applaud and cheer and reveal that we are in our kitchens.
True. I'm totally naked right now, you guys.
And we'll see you guys next week. We did it.
Woo! Yeah.
Woo!
Remember that episode we did with just me and you, Adam?
Yeah. It was good.
It was pretty good. It was called A Couple of Bosses.
Yeah.
It was a good episode.
It was a good one. Yeah, it was different. It was a different feel than the ones that Doug and I do together. We get the different. We have a different dynamic.
Yeah. Well, our dynamic is better.
I think we're more analytical.
A little more, yeah. Doug wants to talk about boobs and butts.
That's good, too, though.
No, you never.
It's two sides of IMDb.
Oh, I'm hungry. I haven't had dinner yet.
I had a spicy, crispy chicken sandwich from Tim Hortons. They're going all fast food. They're going fast food now.
Is that like the one? I'm a decades long fan of the spicy chicken sandwich at Wendy's. Did you ever
have
that?
Yeah, you know what? I it's good too, but I was pleasantly surprised by this one. I didn't. I had very low expectations for a spicy chicken sandwich from Tim Hortons, but it was actually quite good. Worth a shot. You're gonna have more Tim Hortons in your area soon, I think.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it's funny. My
so you can try everything out, and then we can compare notes.
It's funny. My uncle lives in Columbus, Ohio, Dublin, Ohio, and they have a Tim Hortons right there.
Yeah, there's some. When I traveled across there, we did end up stopping at one in Michigan somewhere. There's a few.
Yeah. Oh, Michigan. Yeah. And yeah. I've been very impressed with the Tim Hortons sandwiches so far. I love their chicken salad sandwich, super good. Egg salad as well, and they have a turkey club sandwich, which is excellent as well.
Yeah, it's decent. It's expensive though.
Really? No. Yeah. You go to get like a coffee and a sandwich at Tim Hortons. Yeah, it's like $4.
No, not here.
Oh, really?
Fuck no. We got two chicken sandwiches and a medium ice cap. It was $15.
Oh wow.
Yeah, no, nothing with that either. Like, you don't get fries and shit, right? Yeah, it's not cheap. But, I mean, even McDonald's is more expensive here than what you guys are used to.
Sucks.
Yeah. It fucking sucks.
It's like $11 for a Big Mac meal here.
Which still is pretty good.
Yeah, but it's like 5 or 6 for you, right?
Doug, can you add on?
I'm trying. It's about 8.
Oh, it's gone up a little. A little.
I don't know. I go to Chipotle and I get a burrito bowl and a drink, and that's about like $8.
Yeah, Chipotle's not really fast food. It's called fast casual.
Oh yeah, so
a few bucks cheaper.
I'm a huge fan of fast casual food. I could talk all night about fast casual food.